secret family, family secrets. This is Blood Strangers, and I'm your host, Charlene Thorburn. Hey everyone, Charlene here, and Blood Strangers is back after a brief break last month, and have I got a treat for you. I had the sweetest chat with J.D. Mott, the surprise biological father you may recall from the episode earlier this year featuring Tanya Hart, entitled Defeating the Gremlin, A Tale of Three Dads. A quick synopsis for you, since it's been a while since Tanya told us her side of the story. If you have a chance, listen to her episode, which aired back in January of this year. She had gone most of her life thinking her father was someone else, someone who wanted nothing to do with her from the get-go. This left her with long-standing abandonment issues. And with the help of a DNA test, a Canadian aunt, and the general serendipity of life, in 2020, Tanya discovered who her father really was. This fact was unknown not only to Tanya, but also to her mother and to her biological father, JD. JD is a self-proclaimed Dover, New Hampshire kid who was already living a pretty wonderful life in Rochester, New Hampshire with his wife, whom he loves dearly. He runs a successful local carpentry business, loves tattoos and motorcycles, and he lives life jumping in feet first. He and his wife have a son, and he has a stepdaughter whom he regards as one of his own. Unbeknownst to him, in 2020, his life was about to be enhanced threefold, in the form of our friend Tanya and her two sons. Here, JD reflects on what it was like receiving the first communication from his daughter, how their meeting felt to him, and how their relationship has progressed since first meeting. His love, pride, and joy is completely audible when he speaks of his newfound family. Meet Blood Stranger's new favorite dad, J.D. Mott. So in Tanya's episode, she mentions the big day that she discovered you existed was September 1st, 2020. She's sitting by the fire, and this bombshell from her mom, she finds out about you. Did you have any idea about Tanya?
None. Absolutely none. Absolutely none.
How did you initially hear anything about, what was the first you heard of any of this?
A letter that Tanya had written to me. It came in the mail.
Like actual mail?
The actual mail. Snail mail. And it was a handwritten letter, and thought it was junk mail, clever way of getting through like they do sometimes. And I opened it up and started reading it, and thought that there was probably some kind of connection, family connection, blood connection or something, but kind of dismissed it as somebody looking for some genealogy of some type. And my brother, who's a big genealogy guy, I had said to my wife, before I was through with the letter, I had said to my wife, who was standing next to me while I was reading it, I think whoever this girl is, she's probably looking for my brother or somebody that knows more about the family tree and that kind of thing. And then my wife is the one who actually finished the letter.
You hadn't finished it?
No, I hadn't finished it. As I was reading it, she was, my wife, I love her, and she is into the smallest details. And we were talking, actually, as I was reading the letter, and so it piqued her interest, and she read it and finished reading it and said, Bubby, this is your daughter, and showed me the picture that Tanya had enclosed. Tanya had enclosed a picture of her and her two boys, my grandsons, her children, and that's the first I heard of it. And it was a kind of just, I don't know, awestruck. You know, obviously I had never been in this place in my life before. I didn't know anybody else who had been in this place in my life. I never talked to anybody else who had been in this place in their lives. My brother has an adopted child that they they have been back together for a few years. They were searching for each other. Mm-hmm. So they were able to find each other through different websites, and they ended up finding each other, and they got back together. And that's another happy story, very happy story.
I'll have to get in touch with them.
Yeah.
But this is something, like, this happens to other people, but here it was happening to you, and you've got Did she say in her letter, like, I feel like you may be my father? Did she go out and say that, or just sort
of? No, she had corresponded with my aunt in Canada, in New Brunswick. We have a lot of family north of the border, and she had corresponded with my aunt, who had also taken a DNA test in the same company. Mm-hmm.
This is Aunt Annabelle, for aunt whoever Annabelle. Remembers the episode. This
correct.
Is Annabelle.
And Annabelle and Tanya had gone back and forth a couple of times trying to make the connection of why Annabelle and Tanya would be such close relatives. Mm-hmm. And between the two of them, they narrowed it down. And when Tanya had mentioned my last name to her mother and Tanya had, they had a talk.
We remember the talk.
So they had a talk and, you know, put it together. And so Tanya knew.
Yeah, because she had a head start from you. You did not find out for a couple of months after she found out.
Right. So Tanya had been doing some spying and some due diligence.
Sleuthing.
And good for her for doing that. She could have found out, you know, a lot of things about me that might not have worked out. So, you know, she chose to continue to go with it. And when I got the letter, she also had enclosed it. She wanted absolutely nothing. She wasn't contacting me to ask for anything, that she was simply putting it out to the universe. She wasn't looking for a father. She wasn't looking for anything. She was just putting it out to the universe, and I could receive it any way I wanted. And I could get in touch with her. I could not get in touch with her. It was going to be fine with her. And that's when I found out.
She said, you can do whatever you want with this. And what did you do with it?
I was enthralled. I couldn't wait to talk to her. I just wanted to meet her. I just wanted to, you know, just like, this is my daughter. And not knowing that, you know, never. And knowing that this is my daughter, there was nothing more that I wanted to do than get with her.
Yeah.
And meet her, and two new grandchildren that I just wanted to get with and meet. And
fell from the sky.
Yeah, really.
And what I found so wonderful, and you know, we all know she found so wonderful because she was so scared of, you know, more rejection and more. So it's so wonderful that your first thought was, "Lads, when can we talk? When can we meet? When did you guys meet?"
Well, I got the letter. My wife and I talked for 5 minutes, and she didn't leave a telephone number. She just she left an email address.
Yeah.
So I emailed in 5 minutes. I emailed her, you know, this is interesting, and I'd love to meet. And, you know, I didn't want to scare her off either. You know, I didn't want to come across like, oh my God. But that's how I felt.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to come across that way. I want to be fairly level. It's my go-to, is to get level, and so it took 5 minutes for me to go, and I didn't get her number, and she enclosed that in the email, and so then I called her, and it was kind of a, hey, how are ya? This is crazy, you know, kind of conversation, and it was a lot for her. I'm sure. I'm not sure. I might have sent her a text. I can't remember the exact now. I'm getting old. But I can't remember the exact
we all
now.
Are.
But I know that I got in touch with her. Text or phone call. But we had talked. And I think it took her a little bit to kind of digest back from her end. A little bit of it too.
Oh, she admitted to ghosting you.
And this was after.
This was after.
This was after.
She freaked out and ghosted you.
Yeah, that night she ended up.
It happens to all of us.
You know, before she got back to me, she had to get in a little bit of wine, and she had to get in a tub, and she had to relax and breathe, and then we ended up talking, and we got to get together, right? So we're like, yeah, we got to get together. I'd love to meet you. I want to meet you. and then she ghosted me. And so if this
one... How long did the ghosting last for?
A few days?
Okay, because I think it was a few days, yeah.
I mean, where, you know, there was a quick text or something, you know, but nothing major. And I was fairly heartbroken, you know. Heartbroken and anxious at the same time. It's like, you know, I'm a jump into life. I'm a jump in both feet mm-hmm. first. That's just what I do. And I think she's more precise, more...
Yeah, very thoughtful.
Right.
Many thoughts.
Right. She thinks things through, and eventually we did make a plan. I met her about a week later,
yeah.
and down at a coffee shop in Portsmouth, with kind of a little story of itself. She mm-hmm. said we'd meet at Cup of Joe's in Portsmouth, or we'll meet for a cup of Joe, is what I heard down in Portsmouth. I was like, that's my kid, right? Like, I'm not a foo-foo coffee guy, I'm not whatever. And she said, oh, I'm going to meet her for a cup of Joe. This is awesome, you know? And so I go down to Portsmouth, and I'm sitting there. I had stopped at a flower shop, and I'd gotten some flowers, and I was sitting down there in Portsmouth at the square, looking around for her. You know, I mean, I saw a picture, but I didn't know how she'd walk. I didn't know how she'd move. I didn't, and looking around for her, and then I texted her and said, hey, listen, I'm here. And she said, I'm down at Cup of Joe's. it's a coffee place in Portsmouth, so I'm down and
met her. Finally seeing her in person, and what were your thoughts?
Well, I was walking down the sidewalk to meet her, and she was there, and I saw her from a distance, and my logical mind said, well, that's her. And my emotional mind was kind of foggy. It was kind of like, you know, I had never seen her in person, just a picture. And I also had time to do a little bit of snooping of my own.
Oh.
And found a couple old interviews that she had done for her mm-hmm. salon
mm-hmm.
and some other things. And so I kind of got a little bit about what she looked like. But she wasn't, she was just dressed in normal clothes. She wasn't as dressed up. And when I saw her, she kind of, you know, had stood up and walked towards me. And I remember the first thing she said was, can I hug you? And I was like, that was just... Of course, you know, this is like, are we not going to do this, you know?
Yeah.
And so I guess, you know, that was it. It was awkward. It was awkward because we're, to the broadcast, we're blood, but we're strangers, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was awkward in that, but it was more than like just meeting a cousin for the first time or an uncle for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was like, it was everything, right? It was everything. And I have a stepdaughter and I have a son. My stepdaughter, to me, is my daughter. And we've been through a lot of stuff together. And my son, been through a lot of stuff together. So, you know, we're familiar with each other. But it was new and exciting. It was also a little, just a little bit awkward in a mm-hmm. in a kind of almost like a new date kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a person, you know.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Exactly.
I do, actually.
you know exactly how this feels. Yeah.
Cute.
So, but it was, you know, we ended up talking. It was November, and...
You had just had a birthday.
Yeah, I had a birthday on November 1st, and hers was coming up, and we talked, and what seemed like a half an hour. It was a nice November day, and I had a t-shirt on. It's all I had on. And it even started, like, misting a little bit. And, like, I wasn't cold. I didn't even know what time it was. It just, a couple hours went by really quick. I just wanted to stay there. And the more we talked, the more it was so cool. I couldn't believe how beautiful she was. And how approachable and how interested and how interesting she was, and how connected I just instinctually felt. And it was, we'll talk again, we'll meet again, you know, I want to continue to do this, like, wholeheartedly. You know, like, if you have any doubts, know this, I'm in all the way.
I have none.
I'm all in. And we hugged and got up and started to walk away. And I can remember this clearly as we started to walk away. We were walking away from each other. And I turned around just to almost to see, like, did this really happen? When I turned around to look, she had turned around and was looking at me at the same time.
Thinking the same damn thing.
I don't know. I've actually meant to talk to her about it, and I just, it always slips, but it was, that's what it was for me. Incredible. It's all incredible.
On my end,
it's all just so incredible. Yeah. Like, we're together all the time now. Like, we see each other a lot. We talk to each other a lot. You know, I say goodnight to her every night, and, so when I see her and she has certain gestures that she has, certain facial expressions that she has, like, just her and her brother look so much alike, and that it just blows my mind sometimes. I look at her and I'm like, oh my God, especially early on, because it was new and I wasn't ready for it.
Expecting it?
It's not even like an expectation. It was more like a surprise. Oh my God, you know, of course, this is my daughter, you know what I mean? Oh my God, of course, they're brother and sister, you know, because of their movements, their gestures, and their, sometimes the way they process, they both are, I would say, much more intelligent than I am, much more calculated than I am. I'll go with calculated, but yeah, they seem so much more, calculated.
But don't give yourself credit. But you jump feet first. They consider things multiple times, I'm sure. You've met your grandsons. You've got two new grandsons. Like we said, they just like fell out of the sky. What's that been like?
That's been incredible too. Again, I don't want to say it was awkward for me meeting them. Not like it was with her. With them, it was more intentional. Okay, I have grandsons, I need to get to them. I want them to know I'm their grandfather. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I want to. Tanya's oldest son, he's got a great big head of hair. And he's such a good looking kid. And he's got this great big head of hair. And I'm bald. And so I'm like, you know, I wanted Dexter to know, someday you're going to look like this.
You might not last long, kid. Enjoy it while it's there.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Hair today, gone tomorrow.
Oh,
but,
that happens.
You know, and that kind of thing. And they're just great kids. And I think we have bonded pretty well. Dexter, you know, he's with his dad every weekend, and he's got his schedule, so it's harder to schedule time with him. Mm-hmm. It's harder to get time with him. But Spencer, my stepdaughter Liz, has two sons relatively the same age, my other grandsons. And when they come up, we try very hard to have Spencer there at the same time because they just click.
The Three Musketeers.
Oh, yeah. And it's awesome. Yeah, and it's bedlam at the house for a couple of days when they do show up, but it's so awesome.
Because the ages are what?
So cool. Like 10 to 7.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Bedlam.
Yeah.
You know it.
And they fight and play just like a family does, right?
Like, she mentioned a whole bunch of different connections in her episode of her friends' fathers being friends with you, one of her friends' uncles, and two of her friends' dads are friends with you, and that blow your mind as much as it blew her mind. Oh my God, we how did we not encounter one another?
It's almost daily that it blows my mind, and it continues to. And the more we talk, and the more, you know, oh, this guy and that guy.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah, we're buddies, and you know, I mean, her mother and I, though we didn't, you know, necessarily hang in the same circles, but her mother knew a lot of people that I knew and whatever, and so. Mm. I'm a Dover kid, basically. Mm-hmm. Her mother's a Dover kid. And so we've known, you know, we have a lot of connections, mm-hmm. Tanya and I, and her family and whatever. Yeah, we have a lot of connections. And as far as friends go, it's kind of amazing. Like, exactly to what you say, it blows my mind sometimes that we have And I know that we have passed. I know that we probably looked at each other through our lives. And, you know, maybe just for a brief moment, but I know that that's happened. Mm-hmm. You know, in her interview, she talked about her two brothers, Jonathan. You know, so they were friends early on in school. Yeah. And so, you know, who knows if I sat next to her at a third grade play or something, you know, that Jonathan was in or whatever. It had to be. We had to have
at least been in the same room at some point, regardless of how large
we had been.
And you'd mentioned that looking back on both of your lives, that like, oh my God, we were the same. We took the same path.
The more we talk, I think it really clears up a lot of things for her. She was a wild child and did a lot of partying and, you know, whatever, was very adventurous and outgoing and confident, and her mother would say, I don't know where she got it. She just, like, it's this child was this.
Where do
like,
you come from?
Yeah.
That was, and, I get that a lot.
And so after, you know, after meeting me and...
Oh, man. I love it.
But that's just spam.
We're leaving that in. That's the call of his people, by the way.
Yeah, that's
we're
right.
Going to leave that
the
in.
The pipes.
Yeah.
So it cleared up a lot of things for her. I'm clean. I'll just come out and say it. I'm clean, you know, in recovery from addiction, and I've been clean for 33 years, going on 34.
Awesome.
And thank you. It's hard to take accolades for something I should have been doing, you know what I mean? But
it's one of the hardest things people can do, though. So.
But I did a lot of partying, and I, through talking with Tanya, I know she wouldn't care if I said that, but she did a lot of partying and kind of really puts herself out there intentionally or not intentionally, and it's the same thing. But our lives are so parallel. She was in trouble. She didn't graduate high school, neither did I. Mm-hmm. I've managed to... pretty successful life anyways, you know, and so is she, you know, and there's just a lot of similarities, and she would send me pictures of her in her party years, and there's no different than the pictures of me in my party years. The only thing is, I'm a dude, she's a woman, you know, the same thing. Yeah, and so she sent me a picture of her with a shaven head, and she said she had just had... She had just shaved it because she had a mohawk. And I showed the picture of it to a buddy of mine and to a couple buddies of mine. I'm like, this is my daughter. And I'm like pumped. This is my daughter.
Look at this badass woman.
Look at this badass, right? This is awesome, you know? And my buddies are like, dude, that apple didn't even roll. That apple hit some mud and it grew up right there. Two peas in a pod. You guys are exactly alike.
Same tree.
Actually, my picture on my phone when she calls is her flipping off the camera. and it is with my other daughter, too. It's her flipping off. And I'm like, I'm just really proud of that.
The badassery continues from generation to generation.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. So how would you describe this whole experience?
The whole experience is it's not like an experience. It's like an ongoing part of life, right? And an ongoing part of my life, not a chapter, but just something that keeps going. And the experience to me, from the onset, from the letter, I've been very excited and wanting and just loving it. And we talk all the time, and we text all the time, and I say goodnight to her every night. You know, try to. A couple of nights I haven't because I've just fallen asleep. Or it was way too late and I didn't want to bother. But anyways, it's just...
We all forgive you.
Just incredible for me. It's just incredible. I just love her so much. And it's such an instinctual love. I was describing it to my brother. We were talking. My brother had a bunch of pictures from when we were kids, and so he was able to pull a few so that I could show Tanya pictures of our family and me when I was younger and her uncles and stuff when they were younger, and just try to incorporate our family to try to maybe help her realize that we're family, that my brothers and my cousins and my nephews and nieces are all in on this. My entire family is like over the moon with it. They are so, it's just so cool. My family's really cool. I have a really good family. And they're all like all in on it. How is my experience with this? It's an ongoing experience and for both of us, but I'm all in every day, and I just love her so much, and I love those kids so much. It just, it's another part of my life that just brings so much joy, and that's all. I should say, though, what she had said to me from the beginning, the first night that we talked, and I had given her some flowers, and it was just a small gesture to, I don't know, makeup or whatever, but I had given her some flowers, and I was like, this is for the 40 years of, you know, birthdays and Valentine's days and stuff that I had that I had missed. And, you know, this is just a small gesture of, I wish I could have been there. I wish I would have known. And I just wanted to make sure, I wanted her to know that was more of like, I'm all in. But she had said to me later on, as we were talking, after she was telling me about a wild ride she had had, said, you know, you might want to give these flowers to my father, to her father who had adopted her.
Oh, Larry.
Larry.
L-Dog.
And I should probably give these flowers to Larry, because Larry took, like, I talk about how wonderful it is now, but I wasn't along during the wild years. Larry was there. Larry was there. Gay was there. And, you know, the trouble she got in, stuff like that. You know, I wasn't there for that. Then Larry and Gay were there for that. And, man, I tell you what a good dude Larry is. I don't really know him. I've met him a couple times, and haven't really talked much. I guess what I would say is that I would like Larry to know, and I would like any guy to know, that for somebody to take in a woman with children, he did it 100%. He adopted Tanya, and he adopted Nicole, Tanya's sister, and he raised those children. What a good dude, and what an example of a good man. And I hope to God Larry listens to this, because I would like to say that to you. Personally, Larry, that's for you. And, you know, really, just so, I guess, really grateful.
Knowing that all these years, you know, she was in such good hands.
Right, yeah, exactly. She was in such good hands with the two of them. Yeah. I get the together successful Tanya, you know, I get to share that with them now, you know what I mean?
But
maybe Gay would have called me when she was 14 and, you know, take this fucking wild child from me. I don't know who this is. Take her and get her out of here. I don't. And like I said, we share a lot of things. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of similar hobbies: motorcycles, tattoos.
Oh yeah,
she had a great big phoenix. She has a great big phoenix on her back.
Oh, she told me that literally as she was leaving that day.
Yeah.
You guys have like a matching tattoo.
Well, I always wanted to get a phoenix, and then when I met her, she had a phoenix. So I actually, and I have a couple of dragons, big dragons on my chest. And when we're talking, my people calling again, sorry.
The people.
And we talked about getting matching tattoos. She went out west with me last Father's Day. It was our first Father's Day. Mm-hmm. And I went out west to pick up an old Ranchero that a friend of mine.
I drove
out to Phoenix to grab the 61 Ranchero, and she flew out and drove back with me cross country, and that was our first Father's Day. And 4 days on the road and getting to talk and stuff like that. And
some amazing quality time.
We talked about getting a tattoo in Phoenix, but it was like time crunch. And so she ended up getting a dragon tattooed on her chest, and I got a great big phoenix in between the dragons that now I have on my chest. And
that's awesome. There's nothing like matching tattoos to connect two people.
My wife and I just did the same thing, actually.
Oh, is that new? That looks new.
Yeah, my wife and I just got back from Costa Rica. I got a macaw, and she got a hummingbird in the same spot.
Sweet.
My wife and I love each other.
You're stinking adorable. I thank you so much.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you. Jenny's kind of the best. And Tanya's a lucky gal to have found him.
Just another dude. I think Larry's really one of the best. And I aspire to be like
him. So many shout outs to Larry L. Dog once more. Take care.
Okay.
Immediately after JD left, I messaged Tanya asking her if she'd let him be my dad too. He's great, and she replied that he is the greatest and that she is so blessed. I'd have to agree. To have been raised by a great dad like Larry, only to get a wonderful, open-armed bonus dad like JD. Blessings beget blessings. I want to thank JD for sharing his and Tanya's story from his perspective. I don't feel like I'm exaggerating when I tell you that the joy and love emitting from him as he spoke was physically palpable. It was magical to experience his heartfelt outpouring of love, and I hope you felt it too. Thanks for listening, guys. Do you have a story you'd like to share on the podcast? Let me know. Reach out via email, bloodstrangers603@gmail.com, or on Instagram @bloodstrangers. You can come chat in person, or if you're far, far away, we can chat on the phone. Don't be a stranger. Blood Strangers is co-created by Charlene Thorburn and Tiffany Lassard, hosted and produced by Charlene Thorburn, concept and title by Tiffany Lassard. Theme music is The Plot Thickens by Joshua Specht, courtesy of Soundstripe.